Beginning with the Bismillah, this is the Dean Show Radio Show. My brother.
My brother.
And back again for another episode. This week, the Dean Show Radio Show. And we're answering your questions, which you can drop off at the DeanShow.com blog section. There we have a little box. You can leave your little letter, suggestion for a show. And we can try to reach out to some of the students of knowledge, some of the sheikhs, some of the people that have more knowledge than myself, and we can help answer these questions that you have. Today on the Dean Show, when we come back, is my brother and your brother, Kamal El-Mekki. And he brother, I think he's there with us already. Brother, are you there?
Absolutely, I'm here.
Brother, you know, I really enjoyed it when you were in town last time. We had a great time.
I loved it. I just wish I was in town this time, but you know, we're over the radio this time, so alhamdulillah.
But should I give him the good news?
Absolutely, go for it.
You know that he's coming back, inshallah, is that right?
Inshallah, we're going to plan that and do it right.
All right, alhamdulillah. But today we're going to be discussing a serious topic, and we're going to get straight into it like we always do here on the Dean Show, radio show. A sister, Sheikh, came out. She wrote in and she had a question. This is actually a brother who wrote in. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to read the question and then we can go ahead and discuss this. Are you ready?
Sure. Go ahead.
This is from a brother who's writing in and it goes a little something like this. He says, "Assalamu alaikum," which means peace be with you. He says, "I'm a 20-year-old man and yesterday was the worst day of my life. I let my desires take control and I committed the grave sin of zina. I've never felt this shame before." He says, "It's so powerful. I can barely cope with it. I feel embarrassed getting into the details, so we're not going to get into any details here." And he says, "I don't know how to repent correctly." So he's wondering how he can repent now, and he needs some advice. He needs some help. So we wanted to talk about this because this is something prevalent nowadays. This is something that, you know, it seems like it's kind of normal. So talk to us. What does Islam have to say about this? And let's get into this topic, Kamal.
All right. Okay, very good. First of all, let me begin by saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, amma ba'd. It's a very saddening email, and it's like you're saying, you know, very serious topic, and you can see the brother and how he is. He says, "I can barely cope with the power of this shame." You know, it's a really bad sin. But a lot of times you find people asking questions like, "How do I repent correctly from zina?" or "How do I repent correctly from any other sin?" More or less, there's some basic guidelines that are the same no matter what the sin is. And the first thing for the correct repentance, there are three specific things. The first thing is to give up the sin immediately.
Give it up.
And these are just very natural things. I mean, you can't, for example, stop stealing while you're stealing. You have to give up the sin, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. And so, inshallah, that is the case. You can tell, inshallah, with the brother, because of the shame and the guilt that he felt, that he stopped the sin. That's the first thing. The second is to have regret about doing it and have remorse in your heart. You feel bad that you did it. Because I'm sure you know, Eddie, how some people, they do a sin and it's like nothing happened. No regret whatsoever. You know, even if they say, "I'm not going to do it again," no regret. And that's not a good sign. So
this is a good thing that he said that this was the worst day of my life.
Absolutely. If he felt that he just, you know, did something good and he had an accomplishment, then that is something that makes the sin even worse.
Because some people, after this happens to them, they buoyantly, happily say that, you know, this was the best day of my life.
Exactly. And these are actually some of the worst people in the Ummah. The Prophet ﷺ said these are the worst people because Allah conceals their sin and they come and reveal it to people. Isn't that? I mean, that's one of the worst thing ever. So the first thing, you give up the sin. Second thing, you regret and you have remorse that it happened. And then the third thing is that you resolve to never go back to it again. All right? Now, for the most part, most sins, that's the way you repent from them. And sometimes the scholars add that if it's someone that you wronged, then you would go and also either seek their forgiveness or you fix what you have done wrong to that person. All right? But for the most part, these are the three things. And a lot of times people will say, how do I repent from zina, or I did something haram, how do I repent? Besides these three things, you know, or the fourth, if you do something wrong to someone, then it's just the same. And just let me say this in case a lot of people are thinking it. A lot of times when people sin or they do something where there is a prescribed punishment in an Islamic state, right, which we don't have that, obviously.
Yes.
So they feel that, well, the prescribed punishment involved a physical punishment. And now I can't get the physical punishment because I live in America or Canada or the UK or Australia. So what do I do? Well, what you do is you repent. That's it. You repent. Give it up. Regret that you did it and resolve to never go back to it. And
so there's hope. It's not the end of the world now.
Absolutely. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive any sin, as long as even shirk, which is the worst sin, worshipping something besides Allah, Allah will forgive that so long as you repent before you die. So even if shirk is going to be forgiven, then no doubt even things like murder, alcohol, stealing, and zina, which is fornication or illicit sexual behavior, will be forgiven as well. But the question is, we don't know. This is the difference between Islam and other religions. No one can tell you, go, you have been forgiven. So you keep doing good deeds, you keep making dua, you keep repenting, because we're not sure if we're forgiven or not.
There's not a man in a box that you can go see and tell him, look, this is what happened. Give him the details and then he'll give you a prescription of what to do and then say, hey, go have a nice day.
Never. You cannot go to that guy. And that guy doesn't know he doesn't even have any guarantee that you've been forgiven. But so we don't have none of that. So it's between you and Allah, and there is no one to come between you and Allah, or intercede between you and Allah. You just keep asking forgiveness and keep doing good deeds to make up for the bad deed. And that's it.
Tell us, let's back it up a little bit, because some of our brothers in humanity that we want to be our brothers in faith,
okay,
they might drop in sometimes, and we encourage them to come visit us here at the Dean Show all the time.
All right, good.
Now, they might say, you know what? We agree. Okay, you know what? I like what the Muslims are saying. Worship the one God, the Creator, alone, without any associates. This makes a lot of sense. Let me see all the other things that, you know, you have to do here in Islam. And now they say, well, what's the big deal? They might be listening to this and say, well, in the back of their head, because it's a programming that, you know, we're used to, we get desensitized to a lot of these things. So they say, is this really a big deal? Two consenting adults. It's they're not hurting anybody.
Right, exactly. And that's what, not only do they say two consenting adults, but also they'll add things like, they'll add euphemisms, you know, it's a nice sounding word to make something bad sound good. So they won't even say fornication. I mean, you don't find high school kids saying, I fornicated.
No.
You don't find grown men saying, I committed adultery. They say what? I had an affair. And it sounds so much nicer. They say, you know, sleeping together. They have so many kinds of words. I mean, I'm sure in the slang there are like tons of these words,
yes,
that make it sound like something really simple and innocent. And if you're two consenting adults, then what's the problem with that? And that's where we see the effects of zina on society. There's so many bad things that happen as a result of zina. But most important thing...
Define this word you just said, zina. What does that mean?
Yeah. So basically, zina is Arabic. So it means the fornication. It's when two people who are not married... Nor is there any doubt that they're married, or misunderstanding that they're married, or if they're married or not, can perform or have illicit sexual intercourse.
Gotcha.
And they're not married. This is what we refer to in Arabic as zina, or in English as fornication. And so it has become so common that most people don't say anything wrong with it. So if the woman is consenting, the man was consenting, then there's no problem. And of course, the big problem is that this is not accepted by Allah. So if two people agree to do something, doesn't make it okay, because it's not okay in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the big problem.
So you've got to come to a level of realization that, look, you didn't just pop out of nowhere. Somebody created you, and there's a law he wants you to live by. You first have to come to that realization before you get into some of these things. Because if you're living according to your whims and desires, then this really, you know, we got to back it up even further then, right?
And this is why people really need Allah, and they really need religion. Because by themselves, you know, a society can pick any set of values and say, this is okay, this is acceptable, this is permissible, and it's not acceptable in the sight of Allah. And, you know, there are many things that have been And there have been societies in the past where, sodomy was accepted, or kind of a pedophilia type of thing was accepted, and it was okay for them, but it doesn't mean it's okay in the sight of Allah. And that's why we always need to go back to Allah to tell us right from wrong, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable.
Who is Allah?
And Allah, of course, is God, or the name of God in Arabic. And he's the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Jesus, and the God of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
So to the Creator, this is not acceptable. Is this categorized as a major law break sin?
Absolutely. This is one of the major sins. There's a hadith, the saying of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says that because the scholars would always ask, which is worse, wine or like consuming alcohol or committing zina, fornication. And so they said, the hadith says that the one who consumes alcohol, he will come on the day of judgment as if he was an idol worshiper. Like it's so serious what he did, that he will come at the level or the degree of an idol worshiper on the day of judgment. So that is really, really bad. This is an alcohol addict, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, whenever he mentions shirk, which is the worst sin, murder, the third one is what? Zina. So that's why the scholars say zina is worse. Fornication is worse even than alcohol. Because Allah mentions it right after shirk, worshipping other idols or things besides Allah. 2, murder, and 3, zina. So zina is very, very serious. Even if it's rampant in society, even, every other movie has either a mention or indication of zina, or a scene with zina in it, magazines mentioning zina, they sell, from the cover, there's always a mention of zina on it, and that's how they sell it. Internet, one of the biggest uses of the internet is just zina. So, it's so common on all over the place that most people don't see anything wrong with it anymore, just like you were saying.
Yes. Tell us, before we go into, I'm going to ask you a little bit about the history of this, but I want to know, and I want the viewers to know what we're striving for, what our main agenda is. We as Muslims, ones who have taken this free choice that we have in life, either to submit to our desires or to submit to the one that created us, we've chosen to do that. So right. We worship the one God alone without any co-equal, co-partners, and we're doing all the good that he told us to do. We're trying humbly to do that because we want to be in paradise. We know that death is approaching at any time. Teens die, babies die, old people die, whites die, blacks die, yellow people die, brown people die, pink people die, people die every day. We know that, so we're not trying to get attached to this life. We're trying to be the best in this life so we can have the best in the next life. So we want paradise and we want to avoid the hellfire. Can you just take a minute and describe, give the glad tidings of this beautiful reward that is awaiting the one who lives a wholesome, organic life according to how the Creator wants him or her to live.
Excellent.
And then
very
describe
good.
Hellfire, what we're trying to avoid, please.
Excellent. No problem. Let me start by saying this, okay? I mean, first of all, there's all of us, every believing man, woman, their ultimate goal should be to enter paradise. And we shouldn't lose sight of that. But the problem is, Allah described this world that it's full of glitter, it's full of lights, and it's full of things that distract us from that goal. And so if there wasn't, any of the distractions in the dunya, we would all be 100% focused on the next life, which is the whole point of this life, is to get it to the right place in the next life. But because the world is full of distractions, distractions could be gold, it could be wealth, it could be children, it could be just amassing luxuries and all kinds of other things of the material world, or it also, the Prophet ﷺ said, the biggest test for men would be women. So it could be a woman that leads someone astray or puts them away from their religion and things of that sort. So the believer is the one who focuses on their goal properly. Their goal is to make it into paradise. And paradise, it's been surrounded with things that are difficult to do. So basically it means in order to get to paradise, you have to go through difficulty and make it over obstacles. The hellfire, on the other hand, it's been surrounded by desires. So it's been surrounded by all the things that people desire and want to do, whether they're prohibited or not. And so they want to do if you do these things, they will lead to the hellfire, wal-iyadu billah. Now, of course, in anything that you want that is great, you have to work for it. You know, those who want, you know, a big house, they work for it. Those who want a great degree, they have to work for it. So those who want Jannah, they need to work for it. And they work for it because it is fantastic. There is, I mean, it's eternal life. If that was the only description we gave, eternal life in just bliss and happiness and no worries and no pain and no, then that would just by itself be enough. But beyond that, the Prophet ﷺ described it in it is what no eye has ever seen. And not only that, but what has not even occurred to anyone's imagination. Yani me and you, Eddie, right now, mm-hmm. if we start trying to create or imagine a new color, our mind is limited. I mean, we will only think of a color that's a variation of existing colors,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But you might go, walk into Jannah and you see colors that you never even imagined were possible. Tastes, things that you could taste and smell that you could never even imagine were possible. And then you live this life where you don't get tired, you don't sleep, you don't sweat even, you don't feel any pain, you don't have to pay rent, you don't have to run around to get your food, you don't have any kind of, not even the slightest type of discomfort or fatigue. Not the slightest type of discomfort. I mean, not even the discomfort where you see someone who has something better than you, that type of jealousy. Any kind of discomfort doesn't exist. Now imagine you can live this life for all eternity.
Boredom doesn't exist?
Boredom doesn't exist. Nothing, I mean, of any the slightest discomfort exists. Not even, for example, the discomfort associating with waiting for something. You don't have to wait for a meal. There, you don't even have to wait for...
Traffic.
You don't have to wait for traffic. You don't have to even wait for your plants to grow. Because in Jannah, some people feel like planting something. Yeah. You don't even have the pain of waiting for, okay, when is it going to sprout? No kind of discomfort whatsoever. And this life being eternal, then, who on earth then would not want to be in that place? But the problem is, like we said, the world has its glitter. You know, if I can bring this back to our topic of zina, mm-hmm. if you look at one of the rewards also of staying away from zina, you know the hadith when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, or the Prophet ﷺ mentions how there will be on the day of resurrection, when everyone's resurrected, billions of people standing on earth, the sun will be brought down just a mile away from people's heads. Really, really, I mean, it's millions of miles away now and it's so hot. So it'll be only a mile away from people's heads, and there will be only seven types of people who will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day and in that extreme heat, and people will wait for 50,000 years with the sun right on top of their heads. But one of the types of people that will be under the shade of the throne of Allah is a young man who was offered zina, or a woman of stature, status, and beauty, offered them, or called the man to illicit sexual relations, and he said no. He said, "Inni akhafu Allah rabbal alameen. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds." The interesting thing here is that he doesn't go to her out of fear of Allah. He doesn't say, "Oh, I'm afraid we might get caught, that's why I can't go," any of that sort. So he actually did it out of fear of Allah. He gets this fantastic reward. On the other hand, the Prophet ﷺ, in one of his dreams, and it's known that the dream of the Prophet is true, right?
Yes.
So the angels came and they took the Prophet ﷺ, you know, to the heavens, and he saw people being punished in the hellfire. He said, "We came upon a tanur, which is kind of like an oven in the ground. You know, like in some countries you'll find they have the heat and they cook the things underground."
Yes.
He said, "We found like an underground oven. It's like a pit. And there were people in it. And there were bad odors and everything coming out of it." And he asked, "Who are these people?" And they said, "These are the people who commit fornication."
The fornicators.
Yeah, the fornicators. It doesn't matter if they were consenting or not. They were all thrown into this pit in the hellfire. Go ahead.
Right now, we talked about the delights of paradise, the run of rewards, and then staying away from zina. We're going to take a break, and we're going to continue with my brother and your brother, Sheikh Kamal Al-Mekki. We'll be right back on the Deen Show.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers. wonders to all his creatures of the grave dangers of worshipping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There is none greater than the Creator.
You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
Back here on the Dean Show radio show, and before we left off, we talked about that pit, and this is where those who choose not to live according to how the Creator wants them to live, and in that good old, that good organic goodness we talked about, and then striving for paradise, they choose to live according to their whims and desires, not worrying about the ramifications. Continue on, please.
Excellent. You know, I want to talk a little bit about how zina, or when zina first started for human beings, you know?
Yes, please tell us.
Because Allah created Adam, right?
That's the first
and
man.
The first man, Adam, was created by Allah. And then Adam had two sons. And every time when Adam would give birth, he would get a boy and a girl and a boy and a girl. And obviously, the creation wasn't going to continue unless there was marriage between the children. But the rule was that the boy would marry the other twin sister, not his own twin sister, the next daughter.
This is the start of the human race now.
Exactly, the start of the human race. There was nobody. So Adam gave birth, or obviously Eve gave birth, Hawa, and she gave birth to a boy. His name was Qabil. And then Qabil had a sister. And then later on, she gave birth again, and there was another boy. His name was Habil, and he had a sister. So this is Cain and Abel, Qabil and Habil.
Yes.
And what happened was that Habil was basically, he was a little rough in nature, a little harsh, and Habil was very gentle. Qabil, the rough one, he was a farmer, and the gentle one was he dealt with sheep. So Qabil started to have ill feelings towards his brother. We're not going to get into the details behind that. There were a bunch of incidents that created this ill feeling. And he started to threaten his brother, Abel or Habil, that I'm going to kill you. And Habil said, you know, if you attempt to kill me, I'm not going to try to kill you back, you know, if that's what you want to do.
Yes.
So Qabil eventually killed him. And when he killed him, he was overtaken by a sense of guilt. So he buried him. And out of shame, he couldn't meet his father, the Prophet Adam. He was too ashamed. So he took his wife and he went away into the mountains, and they lived there for years. And they had children, and the offspring started to increase in the mountains. They had no shirk. They didn't worship anything but besides Allah. But they started to have a lot of bad deeds and evil things occur in the people of the mountains. In the meantime, the good people, so the evil people now in the mountains, the offspring of Qabil, the good people lived on the flatlands with Adam and the other sons of Adam.
Yes.
Now, what happened was that the people in the mountains, Allah decreed that their men were very handsome and the women were not beautiful. And the people in the flatlands, the women were very beautiful and the men were not attractive. You see? So it's just really the opposite now. So you would imagine that these men would be attracted to those women because they're pretty. And the women would be attracted to the handsome men.
Yes.
So Iblis now, this is now the first generation or generations of people ever on the planet. And Iblis, the Shaitan or Satan, he wanted to create fitna between those two people. Notice what he does, very interesting. He comes in the form of a young boy, and guess what he starts to teach the people of the flatlands?
What's that?
Amazing. He starts to teach them music and singing and flutes. Notice it's interesting, he didn't go to the evil people, he went to the good people first. Wow. Because the good people had the attractive women. And if you can attract the men to the women, then you got it. That's one of the easiest things, because this is the biggest test for a man is the woman.
He's trying to start a party here.
Exactly, starting to start a party. So you need the, you know, the music and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so when the people of the mountain started to hear the music in the flatlands, they became interested and they started to draw near. This was the time of a prophet called Sheath, or in English, Seth. And in the Sharia, in the law of the prophet Sheath, it was forbidden for the sons of Habil to mix with the sons of Qabil. So the people of the mountain, it was forbidden for them to mix with the people of the flatlands. But one day a man, one man, it just started off with one man from the mountains, went down and he mixed with the people of the flatlands. And he saw how attractive their women were. He went back, told his people. They all came down to see the women on the day of Eid, in which the women were adorned and beautified themselves. And that's when, a'udhu billah, the first sin of zina occurred. But what's interesting in this story is that, you know, first of all, music was one of the things used to facilitate zina.
Yes.
And that's one of the names they used to give it. And he also went to the good people first. So it's not that, a lot of times people are very confident when it comes to their iman. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yes.
They, like, a man will be talking to a woman and they might even be alone. And he says, no, I'll just test my iman. Inshallah, nothing will happen. Why do people do that? I still don't have the answer for that, you know. But people don't test anything else that's valuable to them. You know, if you love your laptop, you don't leave it in a public place just to see if it'll be okay. Because you love it, you don't test it. You don't leave the keys in your car in a bad neighborhood to test if it's going to be okay. But people test their iman a lot, you know. People will start praying with the television on to test if they can have the proper focus or not. Or people will sit and talk to girls and women and might even enter a party and see, inshallah, nothing will happen. I'm going to test myself. Don't test yourself. Don't test your iman. The Prophet ﷺ warned us of intermingling. He said the woman is the biggest test. So for the male, don't test yourself when it comes to women. And for the woman, the same thing. Don't test yourself when it comes to that.
Is this for the betterment of society? We love our sisters. We love them very much. And we want the best for our brothers and sisters. But we want the best. But Allah, the creator of the heavens and the earth, He knows the best. And He obviously wants the best. So is this for the betterment of the human race and society?
Absolutely. One of the things what the scholars did, they looked at all the rules of Islam, right? Every rule and law that's in Islamic Sharia that was revealed by Allah or taught by the Prophet ﷺ, and they categorized them. And they found that all of these laws, they come with six specific aims. So the laws came to protect human life, very simply by saying you can't kill anybody, right? And prohibiting anything that will endanger your life. So suicide, murder, drugs, all these things endanger your life, right?
Yes.
So Islam prohibited anything that will endanger the life. Islam wanted to protect your wealth, for example. So it made stealing haram. It made a strong punishment for stealing. It made usury haram. It put so many rules on business dealings. Why? To protect people's wealth. One of the things Islam came to protect was the family, people's lineage. So everyone would know who their father is. Protect the family, the structure of the family. In order to do that, there had to be strict laws on illicit sexual relationship outside of marriage. And at the same time, Islam made marriage so easy in order to avoid zina. And what the effects of zina are, I've got a whole list of those things. How they affect society, how they affect women, how they affect individuals, how they affect children. Zina has so many bad effects. So it's way beyond you saying, you know what, as long as they're two consenting adults, it's actually far worse than that when we look into that, inshallah.
Give the viewers some excitement and motivation, because we're going to have this program go into part two. So get them excited to come back next week and give us kind of some little flashes of what you're going to be talking about.
Okay.
Next week's show.
I'll tell you something interesting, okay? I'm going to link zina, fornication, to many of the problems it creates in society. Now, I tell you, most of us know there's one problem of zina. illegitimate children in society, people not knowing who their father is. There's AIDS and other kinds of venereal, sexually transmitted diseases, right? We know all that. But I'm also going to link zina to rape, all right? I'm going to link zina to homosexuality. How is that going to happen? Well, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah.
We're going to link zina to all kinds of other things that you wouldn't even expect. We're going to link it to serial killers, for example.
Yes.
And there's a strong link behind that. And we find that zina creates more zina in society. Once people start fornicating, more people start fornicating. We're going to look at some studies that talk about what, you know, when people fornicate, what's the effect it has on the siblings, effects it has on the father, the parents. I mean, just unbelievable things. So, and it's just such a long list that when you cannot never after this list say, well, you know what, it's just two consenting adults. It's beyond that. And of course, there are also, you know, severe punishments for it in the next life as we looked at. But we also want to talk about how Islam puts ways for you to prevent yourself from falling into zina. And that's very important for our listeners, so we don't fall into that and we don't even test ourselves when it comes to that area, inshallah.
We're going to continue, God willing, inshallah, with part two. Thank you for helping us cover this, and we look forward to continuing on with you next week, brother.
All right, JazakAllah khair. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sheikh. And we call you come back next week here on the Deen Show Radio Show. We'll have Sheikh Kamal continue talking about. We're going to finish the rest of this question and continue giving some advice to all those out there. We want you to be on the right way, living life according to how the creator of the heavens and earth wants you to live. Keep coming back to thedeenshow.com. We'll see you next week, inshallah, God willing. Until then, peace be unto you.
Fresh, pure, holy peace. Fresh, pure, holy peace.